McAllister Ad Agency.
Lucas McAllister, please.
Who's calling?
Veronica Brinkman.
It looks like he stepped out.
I know he's there, Crystal. Put him on.
One moment. I'll transfer you.
Veronica, it's been a while. Didn't think I'd ever hear from you again.
I have a killer campaign.
Okay, and I should trust you. Why?
My brother Jack was driving somewhere with his family when they heard his cell phone ringing. Only it was on the roof of their van. A kid left it up there.
Veronica, that's cute, but I'm in the middle
of something. It gets better. The phone flies off and a car flattens it. And it still works.
Now I'm listening. What's the company?
Sun Risen Wireless. But here's the thing. I need to do it through a credible ad agency like yours, and I also need to remain anonymous.
And what do I get out of the deal?
I write the commercial, you sell it and produce the spot. We split the money 70-30.
Done.
But you can't reveal I'm the writer. You do, I walk with everything. And you know I would do it, Lucas.
Yes, I know you quite well.
This can't get back to my brother.
No problem, Veronica.
I'll fax the contract today.
You're listening to The Brinkman Adventures, a brand new family audio drama. 2 weeks after Veronica's scheming phone call to Lucas McAllister, the hungry Brinkmans find themselves impatiently waiting for Mom to return.
Finally! She's home, you guys!
Mom's home!
Where were you, Mom? We're starving!
Why didn't you make some supper for yourselves?
We weren't that hungry.
I tried, but we're out of peas.
You've been gone 3 hours. What took so long?
Mom, your grocery bag is leaking.
I know. Ice cream.
Ice cream, yum!
What? We can't afford that.
But we promised the kids ice cream when Charlie was potty trained.
Ugh. He just had an accident.
Ew.
Where have you been, Susan?
I had to walk home.
What? Why?
Your bag's making a mess on the floor, Mom.
The van. It died in the parking
Charlie,
lot.
Charlie, stop licking the floor.
Yummy.
So what happened to the van?
I don't know. There was this loud bang and a bunch of smoke, and now there's oil leaking.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna get you,
boys! The floor is slippery!
Ow, my head.
Isaac, you're covered in ice cream.
Kids, leave us, please.
Yes, sir.
Okay, come on, Gracie.
What are we gonna do?
I'm doing everything I can, Susan. I've been looking for work. You know that. I'm doing my best. I've got nothing left. I'm trying to provide. Honey, come here. I'm so sorry. We know who the provider is. We've been down this road before. We need to have a family meeting. Ian!
Yeah?
Please, tell the kids to get their PJs on. First, we're going to finish off this ice cream, and then we're going to have a meeting in our room.
Yes, sir.
Everybody here?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever had all 9 of us on this bed. I hope it doesn't collapse.
Charlie, stop jumping.
Hey, are you kids worried that I don't have a job yet?
A little. Uh-huh. One of my friends doesn't have a phone anymore because they can't pay the bills. Will that happen to us?
It could, but not having a phone isn't the worst thing in the world.
No.
What will happen if we can't afford food? Will we starve?
No, we're not going to starve. God's going to take care of us just like he has in the past. Remember earlier this year when I lost my job? Opa reminded me of an amazing commercial fishing trip. Would you guys like to hear a story?
Yeah. Yeah. Bedtime story.
All right. A long time ago, Mom and I were newlyweds. Now, none of you were born yet. We lived in this little house in the mountains of Alaska.
We attended a small Bible school there.
Hey, is that where we stayed when you and Michelle went to Russia?
Yes, it is, Ian.
In those days, Dad and I were very poor.
We attended classes in the winter, and during the summer, I had to make enough money to last for the rest of the year.
Our car had developed some problems, remember, Jack?
Oh, yeah.
The doors wouldn't stay shut, it had no muffler.
No wipers, no shocks, holes in the floor, just minor issues.
Kind of like your black car, huh, Dad?
Yeah, sort of.
And I was pregnant at the time with Michelle.
I think I sort of remember that.
Well, we were content. But we needed money for the car, rent, for school, and food.
I'm hungry.
You just had a bowl of ice cream, Isaac.
So we asked the Lord to give me a job, a good job, that summer. And then, one of my teachers invited me to be a crewman on the Armageddon.
The Armageddon?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the name of the final battle in the Book of Revelation?
It is. It was also the name of a commercial fishing boat.
Not sure I'd want to work on a boat with that name.
Well, I still took the job. The crew and I packed the Armageddon with about a month's worth of food. We were going to fish for herring in Togiak Bay near the Bering Sea.
Is that where the plane crashed, Dad?
Good memory, Kitri, it is. Well, Mark, my teacher, was the captain, and the two other crewmen were Howard and Rob.
Did you sleep on the boat?
Sure, we sure did. The Armageddon was about 50 feet long, and it had four bunks.
I still remember standing on the deck of the boat that night Dad left. Mark's wife Brenda was there also. We all held hands, and Mark led us in a prayer.
And Lord, we ask for your provision. You know our needs. If it be your will, may we catch many fish. You tell us to commit our way to you, and we do that now. In your son's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I love you, Jack.
Love you, dear.
Be careful, I'll miss you.
Okay, we're gonna untie.
Hurry back.
We'll do, sweetie. Hey, take care of Susan there, huh?
No, I will, honey.
Rob, is the bow free?
Bow's free.
Stern is free.
Yeah, the spring line is free.
Well, we're off. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, hon.
Be waiting for you.
What's a spring line and a bow line?
A spring line is the rope that ties the middle of the boat to the dock. The stern line is the back line, and the bow line is the front line.
Oh, what's a dock?
Oh, Grace.
This is going to be a long story.
It's the place where you tie the boat up, Grace.
Oh.
So, we began the trip to the fishing grounds.
We're cruising at about 7 knots. It's around 10 miles an hour. We have 1,000 miles to go, so we'll be there in about 4 days.
Let's see if I've got this right. We travel for 4 days to fish for 1 day.
Yep. And we don't fish right away either.
What?
We get there, and we wait a week or two for the herring to show up and their eggs to mature.
The money's in the eggs. People pay big bucks to eat herring roe.
Well, what happens to the rest of the fish?
Pickled herring, cat food, dog food.
When we finally do fish, we get only one shot at laying out our net. Basically, this entire fishery comes down to 1 hour. One set.
One set? I hope we don't blow it. This has to pay for my entire year.
Don't worry. Mark always catches fish.
Well, how do you know where to fish?
We can see schools of fish underwater with this sonar unit. But the most effective method is airplanes. We've hired a plane that will fly above us to tell us where to set our net.
There'll be about 400 boats fishing with us and about 100 planes circling overhead.
What? That sounds crazy.
It is, especially right before the season opens. Boats banging into each other trying to get good positions, and then once it opens, pure chaos.
But 100 tons of herring can be worth $100,000. Because of that, this fishery is very competitive.
So, do you kids understand how it works?
Yeah, I think so.
But wait, if you catch 100 tons of fish, how do you get them on your boat?
Well, our boat could never hold that many fish. 100 tons would weigh as much as 60 cars. So, a big boat called a tender comes and sucks them right out of our net.
Wow.
Huh? You were fishing for cars?
No, Gracie. The fish are just as heavy as 60 cars.
That's a pretty big fish.
Oh, brother. Anyway, we made it to the fishing grounds and waited another week for the fish to become ripe. Oh, that means they were ready to spawn.
So, then what happened?
Well, the big day arrived. Tim, our pilot, led us to a nice school of fish. We were on pins and needles waiting for the announcement on the radio declaring that the season had opened. Imagine, airplanes flying overhead, big boats bumping each other.
Howard, ready to release the net. It opens any second.
Ready.
Mark, the school of road to the west of you. That other boat's in a better position. Quick, circle back around. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The Togiak Herring Fishery is now open and will remain open for the next 60 minutes.
No! We're out of position!
Oh, no!
Those guys are setting! Oh, man!
Armageddon, go around the inside of his net and scoop him. Quick, you can still get them set now.
I can't! His net's in front of me! It's too late!
Okay, he got him. Okay, stand by. I'm circling around the bay. Give me a couple of minutes to get back in position.
We gotta hurry! Boats are setting all around us!
What do we do?
Guys! I can see a school underneath us with a sonar! And it's a big one! It's swimming deep! Get ready! Okay, Howard, release the net!
Did you catch them?
We quickly circled the school of fish and secured the net with no problems. Just then, our pilot came back on the radio.
Mark, what's going on?
I made a set using sonar. I think we have a good one here.
That's a relief because the rest of the fish are pretty much wrapped up by the fleet.
I need to get back on deck and help the guys. Be careful up there, Tim.
Roger that. I'm out.
Howard, get the dip net. Let's see if these herring have right banks.
You bet.
Those aren't herring. Those are flounders. Scoop again. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
We caught flounder, not herring.
What?
No wonder they were swimming deep. I can't believe it.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with today's episode.
Hi, kids. My name is Ryan, and I'm one of the Brinkman actors. Did you know that today's adventure was inspired by real events? You can discover more interesting details of this story by visiting our website. There you can watch video interviews, look at pictures of the actual events, and study maps of where events took place. Would you like to know more about the Brinkman actors? How about watching behind-the-scenes videos from the recording studio or listening to hilarious bloopers? You can do all these things and more at our website, BrinkmanAdventures.com.
And now, back to the Brinkman Adventures and today's episode, The Provider.
So what happened, Dad?
We got skunked.
Was it really stinky?
No, skunked means we didn't catch anything. We started the long trip home.
Were you sad?
Yeah, we were sad. I was worried, too. We didn't make any money. That meant Mom and I wouldn't be able to attend Bible school the next year, not to mention fix our dying car.
Yes. So why did you stop fishing?
Well, the herring season was all but over. There was this other little spot called Moeller. We thought about stopping there, but decided to skip it and go home.
Why?
Well, three reasons. The catches there were small. Also, the herring ate something in that bay that caused them to spoil quickly, so they weren't worth much.
Huh.
Finally, we didn't have a big boat lined up to take our fish or an airplane to spot for us. So we headed for home. We were all pretty glum. We didn't know it, but Jerry Google was following us in his boat called the Millennium.
Who's Jerry Google?
A legend among the fleet.
He is.
He was also a Christian and friends with Captain Mark.
Did he catch any herring?
Oh, Jerry always caught fish. Anyway, Mark was driving the boat through the night. From my bunk, I heard Jerry come on the radio.
Armageddon, this is Millennium.
Jerry, is that you?
It is. Hi, Mark. I heard about your big catch of flounder.
Yeah, word's out, huh? Sort of embarrassing.
I feel really bad for you and your crew.
Yeah, we needed to catch fish. Especially one of my guys. He can't work in the winter because he's a Bible school student.
Have you considered Moeller?
That's funny. I was actually just sitting here thinking about Moeller.
Me too. It's hardly worth the effort.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty much why we passed it by.
If you want to fish, I'd come with you. Since the catches are small, we could put your fish on the Millennium. We deliver them to the cannery for you.
Wow, that's a really nice offer. I'll pray about it, Jerry.
How about right now?
Well, okay. Father, we've both been thinking about Moeller. Should we turn around and go back? I'll do it if that's what you want. We ask that you would lead us as you please.
Lord, we don't have a pilot. Neither of us have fished in Moeller, so we don't know the area. The fish aren't worth much. Moeller doesn't make sense, Lord. But your ways are above ours.
Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mark, the Bible says wisdom is in the multitude of counsel. Shall we see what our wives think of the idea?
I doubt Brenda's up. It's midnight. But I'll try her through the single sideband.
I remember that call. I was at Mark and Brenda's house that night. After hearing about Moeller, the weird thing is we both felt that you should turn around and fish there. So did Jerry's wife.
The next morning, the other two guys were very surprised to find themselves in the small bay called Moeller.
Didn't you need an airplane to find fish?
Good question, Ian. We did contact our pilot, and he agreed to come back, but he couldn't get there until that night. So, Captain Mark found a school of herring using sonar, and we put our net around it. The Millennium didn't have a vacuum sucker to get the fish into the boat.
Uh-oh.
So we had to scoop 20 tons of fish out of the water with a little net by hand. It took hours.
Wow, that was a lot of work.
I think that's about all of them.
Good thing. That's all I can hold. We must have about 20 tons. Nice set, Mark.
Armageddon, this is Kim. Do you copy?
Mark, a pilot's calling on the radio.
This is the Armageddon. Go ahead, Tim.
Mark, can you turn your scrambler on? I have some confidential information for you.
Sure, one moment. Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear. I'm heading your way, and right now I'm about 90 miles from you, flying over Port Hyden.
Yeah, I know where that is. What's up?
Mark, this bay is plugged with herring. There must be more than 10,000 tons. It's unbelievable.
That's not possible, Tim. They don't even go into that bay. It's too shallow. Maybe you're seeing capelin fish. They're like smelt and look a lot like herring from the air.
Fairly certain these are not capelin.
Okay, Tim. Hey, thanks for the info. Talk to you soon. Armageddon out. Jerry, did you hear that exchange?
Yes, Mark. There's never been a fishery there. I suspect capelin in Port Hyden.
But if it is herring, Jerry, think about it. 10,000 tons and no other boats?
I'd be surprised if Fish and Game would let us fish. Besides, we'd need a big tender with that volume.
I think we should at least check it out.
I agree.
We'll leave right now and run through the night.
Okay. I'll deliver these fish to the cannery and then visit the Fish and Game office. Don't let the other boats see you leave.
All right, guys. Untie from the Millennium. Turn off our lights. We're going dark.
Stealth mode. I love it.
So, we casually motored out of the bay with our running lights off, hoping the rest of the fleet didn't see us. Once we rounded the corner, we took off full speed for Port Hyden.
Cool.
Awesome.
How far away was it?
About 8 hours. We took turns driving, but none of us slept. The thought of thousands of tons of herring with no other boats around seemed too good to be true.
No kidding.
We're here, guys! Wow, this bay is really shallow.
Mark, I just arrived. I see you down there. Turn your scrambler on.
Okay, Tim, I'm scrambled. What do you see? Are they still here?
I can't see anything, Mark. Stand by.
I knew it. We missed them.
They probably left the bay last night. What a waste.
There's a glare on the water. I'm circling back for a better view.
Roger.
Mark. I'm sorry.
What? Nothing?
Aww.
Really?
Sorry, I have to tell you this. There are more fish than yesterday.
All right! Now, Tim, that wasn't nice.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. There are literally fish everywhere. You're right on top of the school. Get your snagging poles out and please tell me they're herring.
Get the fishing poles, guys.
All right.
Let's see what we have here.
I've hooked something. Feels like a big fish.
I have one too.
Oh, look at this. It's a beautiful herring.
Things are squirting out of this one. These fish are ripe. Mark, we have very, very good herring.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Tim, it's good news.
Jerry, you're actually asking me to allow you to fish herring in Port Hyden. You know we've never had a fishery there. Herring don't go into that bay.
They did this year. Our pilot spotted 10,000 tons.
No, I'm sure it's capelin.
The Armageddon is there right now testing. Sir, it's herring, and they're ripe.
Unbelievable. But you need a big tender, and you can't do it with your Millennium. Now you can pack what, 20 or 30 tons? You're talking sets in excess of 100 tons with that type of volume.
I have a tender on the way. A 100-foot crabber called the Provider. It's been running across the Bering Sea all night and should be there in 4 hours.
How many tons can she hold?
200.
I'm a little uncomfortable with this, Jerry.
I understand.
It's highly unusual. But I suppose I'll allow an opening this evening.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. We really appreciate this.
I hope this isn't a mistake.
Fire up the engines. Untie, quick. He's letting us fish.
This is the Alaskan Department of Fish and Game. Tonight at 2100 hours, there will be an experimental herring roe fishery in Port Hyten Bay. This fishery will remain open for 24 hours.
Did you hear that announcement, Mark?
Jerry, I heard it. Praise the Lord.
I'm pushing the Millennium as hard as I can. Looks like we'll be there a little after it opens. You'll have the day all to yourselves.
All right, that's good news.
Wow, so what happened?
Right before the season opened, I saw a sleek, dark ship in the distance steaming towards us.
Armageddon is the provider.
Good to see you, Richard.
Hey, Mark, we've been looking at our charts. It's pretty shallow in there. What do you think?
We've spent the entire day plotting the bay. We'll guide you in using GPS once we finish the set.
Roger that.
Well, men, this is it. We're in a bay loaded with herring. The only boat in sight is our tender. And according to my watch, we can start fishing.
Mark, it's 9 o'clock, the season is open, and you have fish all around you. Set wherever you'd like, brother.
Thanks, Tim. Okay, guys, let's do it! Cut it loose, Howard!
Did you catch any fish?
Did we ever! We caught about 100 tons in that first set. Mark was able to guide the provider towards us, and he pumped out all of our fish. Then, Jerry roared into the bay and made an enormous set.
Jack, fill the rubber skiff with buoys and race over to the Millennium. They have so many fish, their net's starting to sink.
Got it.
Jack, see where the corks are underwater? Fish are pouring over the top. Pull the cork line up and tie some buoys on it.
It's not working! The net's pulling the buoys under!
Then tie your skiff to the cork line. That'll work.
Oh, boy. Lord, don't let the fish pull me under.
Jack, you'll be fine.
Did they pull you under?
What do you think?
I don't think so.
That rubber boat folded in half with me in the middle.
Oh.
But it held the net up and stayed on top of the water.
Whew.
We completely filled the provider. We plugged it.
Then what?
Two other tenders showed up. Word must have gotten out. And we filled them both too.
Isn't that amazing?
We had to stop fishing only because we ran out of boats to take our fish. Between the Armageddon and the Millennium, we caught over 600 tons.
Wow! 600.
And it turned out that the fish were better quality than the fish in Togiak. We were paid top dollar, and I got a big paycheck.
Oh, that was a good day.
We had more than enough money to attend Bible school that year. We also replaced our old car.
Wow, God really provided for you.
Oh, not just us. He provided for the families of all the crew and our pilot.
Yeah, it reminds me of when Jesus told the disciples to cast their net on the other side of the boat.
Yeah, they caught more fish than they could handle.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men."
The same thing happened to us. After Bible school, God led us into the ministry and made us fishers of men.
Kids, do you know why I told you this story?
So we wouldn't worry?
Absolutely, Gracie. You're so smart.
He'll provide for our current needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus."
It's like my favorite song. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He shall give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me.
Hello, this is Jack.
Hello, Jack. My name is Lucas McAllister from McAllister Advertising Agency. Is it true that a car ran over your Sunrise and wireless phone and the phone still functions?
Yes, it is. How did you find out about that?
Oh, I have my ways. Jack, my company would like to make a commercial using that story. Furthermore, we'd like to try to use you and your family as the actors. You'd be well paid, of course.
Praise God, sir!
Right.
You've been listening to the Brinkman Adventures, a brand new family audio drama. Today's episode is entitled The Provider. It's been said, God's work done in God's way will not lack God's funds. This certainly proved true for the Brinkmans. Using an extraordinary fishing trip, he provided the money for Jack and Susan to attend Bible school in Homer, Alaska. Speaking of providing, it looks like the Lord may be providing for the Brinkman family in a strange way. Tune in next time as the family steps in front of television cameras and embarks on a journey of a very different sort. While some of the characters are fictitious, The Provider is based on a true story. To find out more details of this story, visit our website, BrinkmanAdventures.com.
Kids, Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all the nations. Let's give ourselves fully to Him and share His good news until the whole world hears.